Kathy Crow. She is a longtime street nurse. In the past, she's worked at Street Health, Public Health, Regent Park CHC, and Sherburne Health Center. Along with lots of people in this room, she has been part of many coalitions and advocacy groups that came together on poverty and homelessness. And as already was announced recently, ran for the MVP.
You lost.
Thanks. You know, I want to go back in time because we're right now, I know that a lot of the focus on this meeting is on the East End, but I want to also acknowledge the West End because part of our history, even though we have very weak, almost zero support from social agencies to help build a movement on poor people's issues, we once rocked in this neighborhood, East and West. And I want to just tell you about some of those times. When we began, you know, and for me it was because I was, you know, either doing the nursing thing or working like in a drop-in and talking to people or people were coming to me. When a lot of us began to see certain things, then we took it to the next level to figure out what was really going on, what was causing it, and what we were going to do about it. And some of those things were like when homeless people couldn't get a health card, and then when they were then treated like crap at the hospital because they didn't have one, or they were denied service, or when they were, you know, sent out without a fiberglass cast, but just with a regular wet cast on a rainy weekend and it would fall apart. And when we began to see conditions get worse in the shelters, and we saw more barrings, and we saw more people forced to sleep outside, we saw conditions that were just horrific. We also then did something about it. When we began to see tuberculosis resurface, now everyone in this room probably knows that nowadays TB is a risk, but it wasn't always that way. I can remember a time when I never saw somebody that was on TB medications. I remember that time, and then it built up and it built up and it became almost an epidemic in the shelters, and homeless people died of TB, which is a curable disease. When that happened, groups came together and did something. When, as has been noted again, police violence resurfaced to a point that was intolerable, as the Esplanade group mentioned, when that began to happen, that it was so prominent that you couldn't not see it. Street Health, we asked a question in one of our surveys, have you been assaulted by police in the last year? And I think the number was like 10%. Was it 10 there? 10%. 10% of people we just asked that question to told us they had been. And that reflected what we were seeing, because we were seeing police-inflicted injuries in our clinics. Well, people got together and we did something. And what I mean by that is that people came together from a whole bunch of agencies. Street Health, Fred Victor, CNH, Regent Park, Queen West Community Health Center, The Meeting Place, Parkdale Legal, sometimes South Riverdale. Help me out if I'm missing some, but you get the idea that there was an automatic response. People were pulled together. At times, then, we formed coalitions or networks. So one of the ones we formed was, I won't give you all the examples, but just to give you some ideas, one we formed was called the TB Action Group. And we met in Regent Park Health Center, or we met in the church, or we met at Street Health. We were allowed to have our meetings in those places in those days. The work was supported by the staff. They would even sometimes make coffee for our meetings, or we'd have cookies or something. Staff were allowed to take minutes of those meetings. Staff were allowed to bring those issues up at their bigger staff meetings in those agencies. And another one was the Toronto Coalition Against Homelessness, when conditions in shelters and drop-ins were getting worse, and when people began to actually freeze on the streets of the city in clusters of homeless deaths, and conditions were so bad, 26 agencies came together to form what was called TCOG, Toronto Coalition Against Homelessness. It was unprecedented. 26 agencies came together, supported by their organizations, that came together to fight at an inquest around what had happened to homeless men that had frozen to death on the streets. Of course, one of the biggest ones was the coming together of Toronto Disaster Relief Committee, where we declared homelessness a national disaster, and hundreds of organizations endorsed that work. We used to have meetings where staff from agencies would be able to come on work time and take part. And of course, all of that supports homeless people being able to be there as well. Now, I want to say that that was a time that took a lot of work, and it led to creative efforts. It led to things like inquiries, public inquiries on the incidence of tuberculosis. It led to press conferences, sometimes like right at the corner of Sherbourne and Dundas, where when they tried to take the personal needs allowance away, the City of Toronto. It meant that people were speaking out at press conferences. We were filling the rooms at inquests. And it meant that you could always count, you know, like Ann Eggers here today, you could always count on so-and-so from that agency, you know, Bart from Parkdale, Dayton from CNH, lots of folks in this room. And that has changed. Street health is the worst example of what's been happening, but we have to force the agencies to come together. That has to be the expectation, that they support the needs of poor people in this community. I'm sorry, I think I'm going to have to stop talking just because I'm at a tickle. But I want to end with a poll. Excuse me. By a woman in the States who says, you write it, you dance it, you march it. And I think that's what we're trying to lead to tonight for future work. Thank you.
Thank you, Kathy. And our final speaker this evening is Gaetan Haru. Much has already been mentioned about him this evening. He has been working in the downtown around homeless issues for over 20 years. He's a member of the Ontario Coalition Against Poverty and until recently was an ID worker out of Street Health. Gaetan.
If people can look, if you don't have them, there's some at the front. There's a sheet on the chairs there. What this is a program from the summer of 1933 by the unemployed who were actually organizing in this neighborhood, around various issues. I want to start by saying, first of all, putting something like this together is very, very important for us. I was raised in poverty, but who live in poverty, people live in poverty, because we have to get together to talk to each other. And just so you know, in order for this to happen, a lot of things had to happen. QP Ontario has funded most of this evening in terms of paying for the food and paying for the space. St. Luke's Church allowed us to use the space. Park prepared the food for the last 2 to 3 weeks. Myself, Brian, Big John, Jerry, and also AJ and Mark have been working to get information out about this meeting. A lot of work. Over 8,000 pamphlets, posters, and leaflets that we've done. And we don't know what we'll get. But this was, for me, an amazing, amazing result in terms of people who came out so that we could talk to each other. Why am I bringing up the issue of the unemployed in the 1930s? Because they, like some of us today, were organizing in this community, in the soup kitchens and the hostels. They were organizing around trying to get employment insurance, adequate cash relief, because back then people didn't get money. They were working to stop evictions, to get medical health. They were working against forced labor. They were working to get a free space to organize. What kind of tactics did they use? Let me go through some of them right here. mass meetings, mass demonstrations and parades and public speaking squares, hunger marches, both at the local, provincial and national level, deputations, strikes of relief workers, mass picketing of homes and offices of officials to demand improvement in conditions of the unemployed, mass accompaniment of the needy families to relief commissions at city halls, surrounding homes of workers to prevent evictions or seizing furniture, mass occupations of homes by neighbors to prevent evictions, carrying back furniture inside of family homes, organizing bidding for furniture at penny prices, circulating petitions for the unemployed insurance and other demands, supporting other strikes of the employed workers, organizing protests and demonstrations against layoff, holding public hearings to expose and reveal conditions of the unemployed, public trials of grafting officials. This is what people were doing with nothing. This was at the height of the Depression, over 30% unemployed during this time. And this is what these people were doing. And they won. I won't go through what they won, but they won. I have a list of things that they won. So it's important for us to understand and recognize that this community has a long, long, long history of resistance. And that every time we take to the streets, we should know that there were others before us in this community that were doing the same. What is the response of social agencies and workers like myself to the poverty that we see? And I'm going to read you another quote from the 1930s, because I think it's very relevant. A woman named Margaret McGreedy, who worked for the Ontario Cross, they did a survey around the relief that people were going across Canada, actually, including Toronto. It says, across Canada and within Ontario itself, McCready noted, the Red Cross has found everything from excessive, inadequate, and moderate inadequate relief, food allowance, with only a few that could be called adequate. People were starving, basically. So this woman knew this. The Red Cross knew this. So what was her response? What was the Red Cross' response to this, to their findings? Despite this evidence, her own response was all too typical of social workers who work with professionals during the Depression. And this is her, a quote from her, a quote. Those of us working in the capacity of nutrition are careful not to encourage disaffection amongst the poor with the existing food allowance, but nonetheless understanding it in many instances. Do not incite the poor. Never mind that the poor know what the hell is going on. They know. They know that they're starving, that they're going hungry. They know that. They know that. So what did they do? We've been trying to show how to spend most wisely the amount they receive. That was the response in the 1930s. And I think... I think that's very significant, because I think for us, in terms of some of us who've worked in social agencies for the last 20 years who work there, in terms of how we react to what we see. And I think it's very, very important to have voices that are there. But most importantly, it's important for us to begin to involve and to work with poor people in this community, to figure out ways of doing that, whether it's with Brian. I don't know, but for the last 2 months, you would have seen myself and Brian with a bucket, and Jerry and Brian with leaflets, and people, and that's what we've been doing for the last 2 to 3 weeks, with a bucket. To talk about, and those are the resources that we have. But we need resources to do this. We need meeting places. Those agencies, Street Health and the church and All Saints Church, they're sitting empty tonight. All of those locations are sitting empty tonight. Why are we not able to go to those agencies and go to those locations for free? Because we don't have, why aren't those people printing our leaflets when we need leaflets to talk about we want to meet? Why is a group like yours being told that you can't go back to the rec center after holding a meeting around policing?
That's a sick shame.
Why is that happening? We have to ask those questions. And we have to be very vocal about that.
Damn right.
Because at the end, we have to support each other. And I, there's a lot of people in this room, by the way, that I've known for years and stuff, that have been doing this for years. And some people right now who are living in extreme poverty, by the way, on ODSP and welfare, who are trying to survive every day. And somehow, you know, those people, you know, like Brian and Jerry and Big Jean and AJ and Mike, what do? They find the time to organize and to talk, to bring people together and to say, okay, enough is enough. And now what we're trying to do is tonight the object was to try and bring other people who live in and work in other communities. You know, that was the food that Park eats a lot, right? Spicy, a little bit. Never mind, but it was good. I think all our juice is gone. Next time, more juice. But it was good. It was good. No, but this is how I want to do it. We have to begin to talk to each other, and we have to work to each other. And I know, and we also have to understand the history of where we are, right? We also have to understand other people. You know, prior to us, we don't have to start from scratch. You know, these people were fighting, you know, for these things. A space in 1930, people were saying they understood. In order to organize, we have to get together. Where are we going to get together? It's a cold night outside. Had the church said no tonight? Yeah, I mean, thank you, you know, St. Luke's for allowing us to go. But one of the first questions I was asked is, does this have anything to do with OCAP? And I was honest with the church and I said, you know, I'm from OCAP, but this is actually something a little different, but I am from OCAP. And I'm grateful that the church in the end did allow us to have the meeting, because it was a good meeting. So I'll stop there, because I know there's hopefully a little bit more time for people to speak or to open the floor, so I'll get back to each other.
Thank you very much, Gaetan. So I just want to go through a couple of really quick announcements, and then I'll explain how the rest of the evening's going to go. So first up, tomorrow, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. is a community forum at Central Neighborhood House. Central Neighborhood House has been talked a lot about tonight. It's a very, very important community space, and if you live in this neighborhood or are a part of this community and can go, please go. There are flyers at the back, and Irene has flyers as well. Also, April 9th, the Ontario Coalition Against Poverty will be having a public meeting about the Raise the Rates campaign and the cutting of the special diet. It will be at 7 o'clock at Park, which is 1499 Queen West, and there are flyers at the back. There are also, there's basically flyers at the back for everything that I'm going to say. So, and on the 15th at noon, please come to Allen Gardens Park. We will be marching, demanding a raise in the rates, demanding that the special diet be restored, and that the brunt of the economic crisis not be borne down on poor people in our communities. Please come out. Also the 21st, as you can tell, Gaetan is very well researched about the history of poverty in this city, and particularly in this neighborhood, and he will be taking people through a walking tour of the downtown east. It's a very rare opportunity to learn a great deal about the history of struggle and suffering in this community. So that's on the 21st, and people are meeting at noon at Parliament in front. On May 1st is the status for all demonstrations. Please come out to that. Every year there's a massive status for all demonstration demanding that every person that is here in this country have access to services and decent status. No one is illegal. And that is meeting at...
Between Gates on Wellesley and Ontario Street at 1 p.m. on Saturday, May 1st. And your flyers for that.
Thank you. Sorry. And then also on May 12th, we will be marching through this neighborhood and demanding that we defend the neighborhood and the services that are here and or have left here and need to return, as well as to support Gaetan. So information is at the back, and feel free to ask anyone about those upcoming events, and please try your best to make it to at least two of them. Now we're going to have a bit of a question and answer and or space for people to have comments. As I said earlier, that this is the beginning of a conversation. Obviously, we can't get through everything tonight, but we're going to have a formal question and answer for a little while, and then we're going to shut the sound down and start to clean up. But folks are not only welcome to, but encouraged to hang out and meet each other and talk about ways that we can go from here. And this is one step in a larger building of a fight back. So people, you don't have to take 2 minutes. Please keep things brief. You have a maximum of 2 minutes for your question or comment. And if folks can actually come up here, because some people have a hard time hearing, and people that have not yet spoken will be prioritized.
Hi, I just want to understand, I'm on ODSP. I've been counting on my check, and it's going to be short my special diet money. Is that what I'm to understand? And how much warning did I get on that?
Do you want me to answer? So just to be really clear about the special diet, they've announced that they're cutting it, and they said that they'll give people several months' notice, but they have not yet told us what that means or how long it is. Or they also say that it's going to be replaced by something, but they haven't told us what that is. All we know is that it will be very, very restrictive and very difficult to access and be controlled by the Ministry of Health, a ministry that already has too much control over our lives.
So my question is about agencies that are just up the street in our community. What's happening there in St. Jamestown is the agencies are encroaching upon our space in Toronto Housing. I'm a tenant representative in St. Jamestown, and both myself and the other tenant representatives do not want them to take our community space, which is where it used to be St. Michael's had a clinic up there. There's six large apartments, and it's been in the Toronto Star about how the tenants don't want these agencies to move in, but they're like the poverty pimps. They want to make money off the poor, and all they care about is the money and their jobs and don't care what the tenants want. All the tenants do not want them in our housing, but they believe that we don't have any rights. So if anybody's interested in doing something about this, because it's going to come down to probably direct action, because it, no matter how many people you talk to in politicians, I emailed all the politicians, there's nobody who's going to pick up the ball on this, so we're left on our own.
So, just for photographers and filmers, please don't take photos right now.
Spaces to rent to all these forms. Because as a candidate, it's a mayor's job. I get it for $1. Any city property would be rented to me if I'm part of a group.
Okay, I just got one simple question. It's called Street to Homes.
But the more you fight against
it, is there any sort of oversight committee for these guys? And I'll just give a little explanation. I was on their list for 3 years and actually having a couple buddies of mine. And what had happened is they said, oh, well, we tried to call you and you didn't answer your phone and you didn't return our call. So you're bumped off the list. And this is after 3 years. Now, I know for a fact, if they had called, left a message, I would have called them back, and it happened to my other friends. And I'm just wondering, people in a situation like that, is there anything we can do?
We're going to take a few questions, and then we'll give the panelists a chance to respond to everything at once.
Hello, everybody, brothers and sisters. My name is Gus Papas. I worked before for Rockup. I'm no Sikh. Anyway, the poor people don't like a charity, like a dignity, because Canada's rich country, who take the money? They say economic crisis, no crisis, banks pay profit, monopoly pay profit, everybody fight for justice, no justice, never peace, everybody unite and fight. What kind of political party in Canada? No see nothing, homeless, people die in the street, Canada's poor country, I say question. Who make the rich people? Poor, working people. Everybody united and fighting for justice. Thank you very much. I come from the community. Everybody united. Work it out.
I heard your comment that you said with the special diet allowance that they give you notice. They don't give you no fucking notice. I just had it cut off. No notice. No fucking notice. They just cut it off my check, and like they said, it was 30% of your damn income. And what are you supposed to do?
far as uniting with other groups, I think like creative people like Critical Mass, like cyclists. You would, a lot of cyclists don't have any money, but they'd also be get around, and they can. And I mean, all musicians in town that live on no money, and unite the hotel workers, do a lot of creative organizing. They've been very good. And I was just in Vancouver, as I was telling Millette, and it was unbelievable the amount of organization. And you cannot starve there, and you cannot, well, obviously you can't freeze, but it was amazing. And the Carnegie Center, for example, volunteer run, and almost everything seemed to be driven by the population, not by the organizers. And I have a question, please. Can someone explain to me what has happened to Regent Park? Because you can't find out what whether people claim, oh yeah, everybody's coming back, or they'll be back. I'd like to know what's really happening.
Thank you very much. Okay. I reserve my message to the poor, to the community, for Ali Kabar. I just say a few words. I was very disturbed on my way here. Over the last few weeks, I began to study the problems as they affect a major community leader. I met the OCAP 1998 in George Brown College. I hope to do my research with OCAP, but eventually I was directed to the NDP. I must tell you, on my way, someone said to me, you should not go to that meeting. That guy. I said, what guy? That bald head guy, a madman that is leading it. He will get arrested, and you might be arrested too. So I still come. I said, we will be arrested together. Because as far as I know, what that man is doing is what I have been doing for the last 40 years, locally, nationally, and internationally. And as a result, I will not give up. And whenever I find a man who believes in what I believe, I will go to hell and back with him. So let me tell you, my friend, the struggle is a continuous one. It has been here for years. What you are doing here today has been happening in every community, in every city, all over the world. Because one thing that takes effect upon the masses, we are tired. We can no longer be used. We can no longer be misled. We can no longer allow the 20% of oppressors of the world suck our blood and eat our flesh. We are taking responsibility. We as the masses, we know that in order to change things, we have to go to the grassroots. That's where the problem is. The answer to all questions is in the question itself. The resolve to the problems is in the root of the problem itself. And in order to find it, we people who are affected, we must come together as a group, organize ourselves, work together, determine what are our major priority, and then we decide what first must be done, and we move towards it in a collective manner. We are not about to fight against one another. Everybody has different opinions, but we can meet and share our opinion, and then narrow our difference. We can condense it, and then we have a program. Then when we move forward to put it in practice, everybody is in solidarity. So the message tonight is one for all, and all for one. United we stand, divided we fall. And I must tell you, this is the first
word. I am also the man who went to Geneva with the freedom of association, the right to organize and bargain collectively, 1973, and gave our workers, our poor people, our students, the right to be organized. Organization is the key of success. Therefore, we're going to do it.
I'm just going to hand the mic over in 1 second, but if anyone else wants a chance to ask a question or speak, please come up here or indicate that now, because we're going to cut the speaker's list up.
Feel like a bit of an anti-climax, but it leads pretty much into what I wanted to speak about. It really concerned me in the last federal election that they sent nobody out to enumerate in the Regent Park, Jamestown area on the basis that they didn't have sufficient numbers of people to do so. I think direct action is very, very important. But for politicians, the only thing that counts is the voice of the ballot box. I'm going to be seated at the table over there. If anybody's interested in the enumeration for this municipal election coming up, please come and give me your name and your contact info, and I will make sure that the government cannot turn around and say that nobody was interested in doing that area, because essentially, by not enumerating, we are disenfranchising the poor. And on that note, and I think if the poor had spoken, then maybe Kathy would be sitting in Parliament now. Okay. On that basis, I would also like to say that if you're around April 18th, on behalf of the Peace and Social Justice Committee of the Metropolitan United Church, I would like to invite you to attend the screening of Home to Stay, a documentary that was made by Laura Skye and Kathy Crow, and refreshments will be served.
You know what, guys? I think we found a lot of common ground today. These agencies know each other. You know what? You might not like your EDs. You might not like everything else about your society. But you know what? You can make a difference by participating in these meetings. Really, you talk to one person. One person brings one person to each meeting. Do you imagine how much you could double in 3 months if we did one meeting a month? By the end, we'd have 10,000 people by June. Think about it. That's all I can say.
Okay, so there were a few questions, and we're just going to give the panelists one last chance to answer questions or say whatever you want to say, and we're going to start here and go this way, and I'm sorry, but the speakers list is cut off, but you're welcome to hang out and chat with people informally.
I just wanted to respond to the gentleman who had the question around housing. You mentioned being on the streets to homeless. Are you referring to the housing connection? Streets to home. Or housing connection. Okay. I thought you were on the housing connection. I don't know too much about the streets to homeless. What I do know that once you have an application in for housing, if you list yourself as being homeless on that application, if they can't reach you when housing is being offered and they take you off the list, then you can get that reinstated. I can find out more about the streets to home and probably pass the info on to AJ, who can pass it on to you.
I think this is an interesting evening. It's a lot of like people who work for agencies talking tonight. But I think one of the things that I often see at agencies is that we do advocacy one-on-one, and a lot of the like advocacy of the wider society issues gets lost. And I think that's where the community organizing comes in. You know, there's space to be had, and if it's the workers in, I work in a unionized space that can offer some of that up, that's where the workers can help out, and also where people in the community have to push for it, and hopefully we'll start seeing some response.
Yeah, I don't really think I can answer any questions, but I just want to say, like, it's just good to be able to be here with among people who've been holding down the struggle in the downtown east side for so long. So I just want to thank the folks who put this together.
Yeah, just, you know, come out to all the events coming up in the next little while and be optimistic, and we have to put all of our energy into a big fight in the months to come.
I think the last couple of decades had actually seen a concerted movement on the part of governments to get rid of social services, and it's important to realize that, and it's time to fight back.
Okay, so I'll end. I just want to say it took me a long, long time to understand the poverty I grew up in. A long, long time. And I want to end, and I want people to leave with this last quick little story, and then maybe we can clean up. In the 1915, the unemployed were organizing around the work test. They were being forced to work to eat and to get their beds and their relief. And they actually organized against that. And this is the story of George Bust, who appeared in front of a magistrate. And I want you to think of class consciousness as you listen to this. Constable McBurney stated in prosecution that Bust had been getting his meals for free at the House of Industry, which was Toronto's poorhouse, and had refused to work for them. That is, crack stone. "That's correct," said Bust with a defiant air. Remember, Bust is in front of a judge here. "Oh, I see. You're one of those who has come to the conclusion that somebody has to support you," said the magistrate. "Oh, yes," said Bus. "Did you refuse to crack stone for your meals?" "Yes, and there were lots like me." "And do you sleep at police stations?"
"No, I don't."
"Yes, with hundreds of others. It was a practice to have homeless sleep at the stations." "Have you hunted for work?" "I certainly have." "Yet refused to work for your food?" continued the magistrate. "That's one way of looking at it. Your way." And with that, the magistrate sent Bus to jail. And I guess the story for me, I remember when I first came across the story in terms of, here was a person in front of about to go to jail who has offered a lot of information, and he's saying there's a lot like me who are against this. He's conscious about what's happening to him. He's saying, "This is your way, but I know better, and there are many others that know better." And I think that's what we have to begin to do across poor communities, to begin to talk about what's going on and to say, you know, that's your way, but we understand what's going on. Okay, have a good night, folks.